Dr. Heather.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Hi,
I'm Lucy. Hi, Lucy?
Lucy.
Nice to meet you, Lucy. Come on back with me. You guys ready for the holidays?
Oh,
pretty close.
I think I bought my last gift this morning, but I'm sure I'll find more.
You just have to wrap them now. That's the easy part, but it's time consuming.
It is time consuming. I go down to Texas, where my family is from.
Oh, okay.
So I ship all the gifts there, and then I have to spend, like, when I get there, wrapping.
You're going to be busy even after you get there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're going to drive, so it takes us 2 days, like 18 hours with my kids. So I think kids need road trips every now and then. So.
Yeah.
Do they have a divider in the back seat? I have to take
my dog, and so I'm going to be sitting in the back seat with my dog. So I'll be refereeing.
Okay. Sounds good. My oldest daughter used to tell my other daughter, this is the boundary line.
That's
right. Don't put your feet past that boundary line.
I remember that too. Yeah. I'm like, don't cross.
Yeah.
Don't cross.
Yeah.
Are you going anywhere?
No,
are you staying here?
Actually, we're going to have brunch with our kids on Saturday.
Cool.
Because our kids have to work the holiday.
They do?
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
What do they do?
Well, the youngest one's a nurse.
I was about to ask if they were in medicine or something.
Yeah.
And then our other daughter just started a new job, and she works for the Colorado Springs Police Department.
Okay, well, they never
So she's a low person on the totem pole, so she has to work the
They
holiday.
Can't close, right?
Yeah. No. So we're going to have brunch on Saturday morning.
That'll be good.
Yeah, it's different. I kind of had to go a different route from dinner to brunch, so that's fine.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, good. All right, so you saw Dr. Valdez
at
a dinner talk, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me what Dr. Valdez said that made you want to schedule an appointment today.
Well, I've had diabetes for a while now, and it's getting worse. And I know that a lot of it has to do with my weight gain,
because
I'm about 35 pounds overweight, maybe 40, and I got to lose that weight. And I also would like to be more active. Right now I'm very sluggish. I have a hard time motivating myself. I also have other issues. I've got heart problems. I've got high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I've got arthritis. I had a shoulder replacement on my right shoulder in February of this year. And then I had heart failure in 2011,
mm-hmm.
and I had a pacemaker put in November of this year. I know the diabetes also affects all the organs, and I just want to get my health back and start feeling better, lose weight, feel better, be more active.
All right. Well, my job today is to go through your case history and determine if I think that you would be a good fit for our practice.
Okay.
And I'm looking at a couple of different things. The first thing and the most important thing is, do I think I can help you? So going through your case history and really understanding where you're at and what your goals are, do I think that that's achievable? And then the second thing I look at is, are you going to be a good fit for the practice? And is your health your number one priority?
Mm-hmm.
All of those together, if they all align right, then that's the way that I know that you're going to get good results doing this type of program. Okay? So let's talk about getting into your case history a little bit so that I understand the circumstance. Okay? So a lot of times, what I'm most interested in is the symptoms that you're dealing with, but in addition to that, like, what are all these medications that you're on?
Yeah.
That tells me a lot about
and
how you've been diagnosed and all
and
the stuff that's
and
going
that's
on.
And another thing, I'd like to get rid of some of those medications.
Yeah, you're on a lot, to be honest with you. And some of them, if not all of them, we've seen patients get off of.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay? So they took you off of all other diabetic medications besides insulin.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on metformin or glipizide or glyburide. You were on those before,
I was on those before, yeah.
Okay, so then now they took you off of all of those, and now you're only on insulin.
On insulin, yes.
Okay, and you're taking 60 units every day at bedtime.
Of the lactose.
Yep. Yeah. And then are you averaging 10 to 12 with each meal of the Novolog?
No, she's got me on a scale where from 65 is... From 65 to 150, I take 10 units.
Per meal?
Per meal, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if my blood sugars are 151 to 200, then I add two more units.
Yeah.
12 units. And then from 201 to 250, 14 units. For every 50 points of blood glucose, I increase the dosage by two.
Do you know how much you're averaging per meal?
I'm averaging, lately I've been averaging like 12 units per meal.
Okay.
Before these surgeries and everything, it was much lower.
It was much lower?
Yeah. Well, it was 10 units, 10 to 8 units.
Do you know what your last A1C was?
Yes, it was, 7.2.
Okay.
And my PSA is 8.0.
Oh.
What was it before?
Was it higher before?
No, it was lower.
It was lower.
It was 4.2.
Okay, what are they doing about that?
I did an MRI.
Uh-huh.
And that was when the PSA was at 4.2.
Uh-huh.
And they did that because I had this pacemaker surgery scheduled, so they did that before the pacemaker. And what he wants to do now, I did labs just last week,
mm-hmm.
and what he wants to do a biopsy, but he wants to do a ultrasound first, and then they'll do a biopsy so that they can, I guess what they do, they take the image from the MRI and then the ultrasound. And they compare them or line them up so that they can do the biopsy.
Did they find anything on the MRI?
He did. He said they found a spot, but he said it was really small.
Uh-huh.
He said that in his opinion that it wasn't large enough for them to pinpoint for... said the word.
Biopsy. Yeah, it was too small for them to really get in there and see. So
the PSA's gone up. He was supposed to call me yesterday. He didn't, and he probably left a voicemail on my machine. But anyway, he was to schedule a ultrasound, and then from the ultrasound go to the biopsy, and then from the biopsy decide what's going to go.
Okay. And you're on a lot of blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the carvedilol, the valsartan, the furosemide, all of those lower blood pressure. What's your blood pressure on average?
On average, it's 120 over 80. No higher than 130 over 80.
Good. You're not on any blood thinners?
I take a low-dose aspirin.
Okay, good.
81 milligrams.
Yeah, I'm glad they don't have you on any other blood thinners.
Mm-hmm. When I had the shoulder surgery,
yeah.
My whole chest and stomach was bruised.
Yeah.
And when I did the pacemaker, my whole left arm was
I can't
was
imagine.
Bruised.
Those are big surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
All in 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. All right. And then how long have you been diagnosed with low thyroid? A long time, I would assume.
I would say maybe 6 years.
Okay, it's not that long.
6 years, 7 years.
And then do you have urinary, like frequent urination?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're on two meds for that.
Mm.
Do you have urinary incontinence where you can't hold the urine in?
At times I do,
uh-huh.
And that's usually when I'm really active,
mm-hmm.
Working, and I'm not near
right.
A restroom or bathroom. I haven't experienced that for well until recently, for a year and a half or so.
Okay, since you've been on those meds.
Well, I even when I was on those meds.
Okay. And you're on an antifungal.
Yeah.
What's that for?
The toe fungus.
Toe fungus.
Yeah.
In what toes?
Well, both feet. Large toes.
Your big toes.
Yeah. And I started and finished that therapy.
And you're not on that anymore?
I'm not. I'm not taking any medication. Now she told me that the medication was 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and then it stays in your system for 3 more months, a total of 6 months, and that's where I'm at now. And it does look like, and she's also told me that it is improving the
okay.
toenail. And along with that, on my right foot, I have a ingrown toenail, and that's a large toe. And that seems to be going away because the nail is growing out flatter and
uh-huh.
straighter.
And do you?
And it's not curled under.
Do you see a podiatrist to help with
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that the one that gave you that
yes.
fungus
mm-hmm.
medication? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think you have a list of.
I do, back here. And you have cataracts? Or you did?
Yes, I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other issues with your eyes?
Lately, I've noticed that my vision is it comes and goes, so I get blurry vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly in the morning. And I have, it takes me about anywhere from 5 minutes to 30 minutes for my eyes to really focus.
Upon waking?
Upon waking, yeah.
So tell me what's going on with your kidneys.
Low function, low
mm-hmm.
Kidney function, and it's... I see Dr. Stuart Singh for,
mm-hmm.
and I've been seeing him now since I was diagnosed with the.
Do they say
the
that you
pressure.
Have chronic kidney disease?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
do you know what your filtration rate is?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But I do have some medical records. I didn't bring them with.
It's
me.
Okay. How close do they say that you might be to dialysis?
Oh, he hasn't talked about.
He hasn't talked about that. Okay.
No.
All right.
Are you talking about, I remember him telling me that my kidney function is about 50% right now.
Okay. So.
Is that what you were asking?
Kind of. There's a marker on blood work that we look at, which
mm-hmm.
is called EGFR, which is the glomerular
okay.
filtration rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that needs to be above 60. So I'm assuming if you were at 50%, you may be around 30.
Okay.
And when you get to 20,
mm-hmm.
they start talking to you about dialysis because
okay.
your kidneys aren't filtering stuff out fast enough.
Okay.
And it can become toxic. The good news is that I've seen people where their filtration rate was all the way down to 11, mm-hmm. and I got them to come back up to a 20, so they didn't have to go on dialysis, but I couldn't really get them up much more. The particular lady I'm speaking about was almost 90 years old also. So she did amazingly well, and we kept her from going on to dialysis. Sometimes we have to look at, like, what are the expectations and age? Like, what is the probability of you really, you know, getting full function back? And what are those expectations? But for her to go from 11, which she was getting really sick, to a 20, her doctors were like, we've never seen this happen before. At a 30, I've actually had many patients that get it back up to fully functioning.
Great.
As long as we fix everything else.
Great.
But you are not too far away from them talking about dialysis. And once you go on dialysis, then we can't accept you as a patient, because all the things that we do tend to be a little hard on the kidneys when they aren't filtering at all.
So this has more to do with medications or added medications? None.
No medications.
Oh,
so
okay.
We look, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit so that we're on the same page, because
okay.
a lot of time, did you go to the dinner talk?
No, I didn't.
I should have asked that earlier so that you understand a little bit. And I usually do this because, you know, what you took away from Dr. Valdez speaking and what I think you should take away might be different. But we practice functional medicine. So functional medicine, we really look to understand where the function has been lost or where there is dysfunction that are causing all of these problems. In traditional medicine, there is a time and place, right? Because you had procedures that were life-saving.
And I'm an example just from my medication list, so the way I've been treated.
That's exactly right.
The years.
So there's good things about medicine, and then there are things about medicine, especially in the chronic degenerative disease space, where they're treating symptoms with medication. So when he has high blood sugar, they give him medication to push it down. But they don't fix why that he has high blood sugar. Right? And so then over time, those imbalances that are causing him to have high blood sugar just get worse. So then they add more medication. And then they add more medication. And then we're done with that, they add insulin. And for him, they took him off of those other medications because they're very hard on the kidneys and liver, which is probably why they took him off. But many patients, they just stay on those even though they're not working, and they add insulin. And then you have high blood pressure, which is also a sign of insulin resistance, but they just keep adding blood pressure meds to lower it instead of fixing why he has low blood pressure.
Okay.
So the medical philosophy is to treat the symptoms.
Okay.
Or if it's not working, go and replace it or take it out. Right?
Okay.
Just like he has a pacemaker, or they replaced his shoulder, or if your gallbladder's acting up, they'll just take it out, or if female organs aren't working fine, they just take them out, right? So for us, we have to really understand, like, where is the dysfunction coming from? Because when the body loses its primary function, which is to balance blood sugar, there has to be dysfunction in multiple organs, right? So the liver helps balance blood sugar. The adrenal glands help balance blood sugar. The pancreas helps balance blood sugar. So does the brain, so does the digestive system, so does the immune system.
So where does the thyroid come in?
And so does the thyroid, right?
Okay.
So all of those things help balance the blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If you have diabetes, you have dysfunction in multiple organs, meaning there may not be a disease, but there is. It's not functioning properly.
Exactly.
And so like with metformin, the liver helps balance the blood sugar, but metformin shuts that off. Because there's a system called gluconeogenesis that helps balance the blood sugar, and that shuts that off. And then the other medications that they have, like the glipizide and the glyburide, well, they say, well, the pancreas isn't working hard enough. So those medications make the pancreas secrete more insulin. But as the body has more exposure to insulin, it creates more insulin resistance.
Why do they prescribe metformin and glipizide at the same time, where one is hurting the liver and the other one is basically hurting the
pancreas
at the same time.
Well, you know, I don't know, but I know that they don't see it as hurting the liver or the pancreas. They see it as just stopping gluconeogenesis, right? Even though it is hard on the liver and the kidneys, that once it stops working, typically their protocols aren't to take you off of that. It's to keep you on that and add another one.
Oh, gee.
Well, that's why, I mean, he's on how many different blood pressure meds? You're on 3 different blood pressure meds and indirectly a 4th one. So it's like, well, you're on one. If it's not working, they add another. And it doesn't necessarily, well, why would they keep you on that one? It didn't work, right? So there's a lot of things that we do to really understand what's going on, and really cool stuff with cardiovascular disease. That we started doing cardiovascular genetic testing, and it tells us exactly what genes are turned on, and it tells me exactly what nutrients you need, or if you're going to go the medication route, which medication would actually be effective. So that all these things kind of go off. You're on a beta blocker, which is the word, it doesn't even work. So, like, all the research behind a beta blocker is not good. Don't stop taking it, because you can't just stop taking it, because you'll go into congestive heart failure. But there's ways to, like, if I took you as a patient and I did a cardiovascular profile on you, there's ways that we can work and to heal the body so that your blood pressure starts to normalize. And then we see, oh, okay, you can maybe go back to your cardiologist and have him just reduce some of these meds to help get you off of it. That's typically what happens. I mean, I had a patient, he was on, he had a quintuple bypass. He was on a gajillion medications. And by the time he was done, he was off of everything, which he worked with his cardiologist, because the cardiologist was like, I don't know what else to do. And he was on over 300 units of insulin. And so by the time he was done, he was off. But it's just because we do a lot of testing to understand, like, where your imbalances are. And then what do we need to do to help the body start to heal and function better so that you don't require all of these medications? Because whereas sometimes they have their time and place, there are always side effects to every medication that we ever take. Because it's just foreign to the body.
Is that through weight loss and medications I know you said you do testing, and I'm assuming some of this is DNA.
We do DNA. A lot of DNA and genetic testing, but weight loss. So as a diabetic, you're always told you're diabetic because you're overweight. But what we know is that you're overweight because you have imbalances going on that make you gain weight. So this isn't a program where we make you lose weight. When we fix the underlying imbalances, yes, you naturally lose weight because your body is healing. But you are not diabetic because you're overweight. When you are insulin resistant, insulin is a fat storing hormone. You cannot.
I learned that that night at the dinner.
So it's almost impossible for a diabetic to lose weight on these medications on insulin, because either the medications are making your body produce more insulin or you're injecting insulin, and it's just storing fat. So it's almost like saying, I'm going to make you gain weight, but you need to lose weight. So it's not possible unless you start looking at the underlying reasons for why you're insulin resistant. And then when you start reversing that, then you start losing weight.
That makes sense. Wow. That makes sense.
Okay, so this isn't, I'm not going to starve you. I'm not going to make you count your calories. We're going to create an eating plan that's customized and right for you that you can stick with, that's easy to do. But in addition to that, we've got to customize nutrients, vitamins, different things that you need in order to create balance back into the body. And it's like, it makes sense, right? You're like, what are we doing? But it really does. Patients start to see results within a week or two. And it's like amazing how easy it is to do it when we customize it to you as an individual. Because I have, I mean, thousands of diabetics that I've treated. And they all get great results because I individualize everything. Right? And I had a husband and wife, both diabetic, both on the same meds. And I accepted them, but I did all of their testing. He had like 5 parasitic infections in the gut, some bacterial infections too, and his liver was really bad. So I worked on him, and his wife had adrenal issues, hormonal issues, some liver issues, totally different people with the same disease and the same drugs, but when we customized care for them, they both were non-diabetic when they left.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it make sense that you would look to see what was...
So there isn't a time frame. It just has to do with the individual.
Well, right. Typically, it takes us about 6 months fully.
Okay.
But most people start seeing results, especially diabetics, and especially when you're on insulin, really quickly. It's pretty fun. Okay? So let's keep going here.
My original primary care provider, I remember her telling me when I first was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I remember her telling her, I asked her if there was any way of eventually reversing or getting off of that medication, and she told me no, that I'd be taking it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I was with her for about 22 years, and she never did discuss anything about nutrition and exercise, and all she did was just would prescribe.
That's right.
Prescribe, but I was going to ask you, how do doctors feel about your practice?
Some love us.
Mm-hmm.
And some don't love us. But for the most part, if we get a practitioner, an MD, that really cares about their patient, and they see the patient doing well, then they say, keep doing what you're doing. And they're like, I don't really want to know what you're doing, but you just keep doing what you're doing. And they, most of the time, it's that way. Randomly or occasionally, I'll get somebody that, you know, thinks that we're crazy, even though all of your testing comes back better. But then you run into some ego things. But for the most part, most doctors want to help their patient. And nowadays, when I used to do this a long time ago, like 15 years ago, I had a lot more resistance. But nowadays, it's just becoming more and more accepted, and the research is undeniable at this point. So, you know, most medical doctors are only reading the research that the pharmaceutical companies give them, but most of them are like, okay, there must be something to this nutrition thing, so I'll let them do that, and I'll just do this.
Does insurance cover all this?
Sometimes insurance covers it. Just depends. If you have, are you on Medicare? So Medicare doesn't cover this type of care. They pay for the progression of diabetes and the amputations, they'll pay for that.
Or you would think that they would be interested in
it's,
in prevention and
used to be so blown away because I didn't understand, but then you understand that the pharmaceutical companies pay the government, and it's kind of like this vicious thing. So instead of fighting it, we'll work with it. And, you know, the medications are serving a purpose for now. But, you know, if I take you as a patient, we start working with you, then you'll be able to reduce some of those.
And that's what I want.
As a matter of fact, I had a medical doctor from a patient who's been my patient for like 15 years. She emailed me and said, can I take you to lunch? And the reason she said that was because I did a bunch of cardiovascular genetic testing that she didn't know how to read. So I explained the test and what I was doing and showed her how to read it for her part. She's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So more and more we're getting, you know, more doctors who are going to be open to more of this. But in medical school, they get 1 hour of nutrition. That's the extent of their education. So they don't know anything about what they know is the pharmaceuticals. So that's fine.
Okay. I was just wondering if I was going to be getting any opposition from my doctors, but like you said, at this point, it's they can't really argue against the the research and the facts.
Yeah, and usually what happens is patients start here. We do a lot of initial baseline diagnostic testing. Mm-hmm. And then within 45 to 60 days, mm-hmm. we redo blood work. Mm-hmm. And then if something needs to change, we have objective data. Mm-hmm. So that we're not fighting like my mm-hmm. I'm better than you are. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Decrease the meds as yeah. needed.
And it would be all right to share the lab results with these doctors.
We're going to, and that's the only way really to communicate with them, with data, with objective data, they can get that. And with you being on Medicare, a lot of times, you know, for your follow-up blood testing, we would go through your medical doctor to do that. So I have rarely is it an issue.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's keep going here. So what are some of the symptoms that you're having? Besides the blurry vision, do you have, you say here, like mostly you have low blood sugar?
I have more low blood sugars than I do high, but that's not on a regular basis. It happens maybe once or twice a month.
Do you know what the number is when it goes low?
Yeah, I've been as low as 60.
Okay, and that's when you feel that?
And well, you know what? When I first started getting low blood sugars, I would sweat to my mm-hmm. forehead, and then my neck, the bottom of my hairline, and I'd feel queasy. Feel shaky sometimes, lightheaded, but lately I haven't felt any of those.
Okay.
Any of those symptoms with a low blood sugar.
This was the okay.
Mornings, for the longest time, I would wake up with anywhere from a 90 to a 120. Mm-hmm. This morning I woke up with a 134 blood sugar. I noticed these last, since I had that pacemaker, the surgery on the pacemaker, that they've been higher than before.
Well, you just had that in November.
November 1st.
Yeah, okay. How's your shoulder doing?
It's doing really good.
It is?
Yeah, the surgery went well.
No pain?
I had pain for about a week after the surgery.
Okay, and you're not on any pain meds or
anything? No. I have arthritis in my left shoulder as well, mm-hmm. and that just became to be a continuous ache all the time. In my motion, my range of motion is getting less and less.
Okay. And then, any numbness or tingling in your hands or your feet?
You know, this last couple of weeks, I've noticed not numbness, but like needles and pins mm-hmm. in my feet mm-hmm. and my legs as well. Okay. And that's usually at nighttime.
Yeah.
Is that from the diabetes?
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Likely. Yeah. And it is a little concerning because you have cardiovascular disease, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start to lose that circulation and blood flow down to the limbs, mm-hmm. and with the ingrown toenail and the fungus, you're at a risk for having an infection mm-hmm. that you can't fight. So that's how diabetics get amputations. Mm-hmm. And so that would be something that we would really be mm-hmm. watching and concerned.
Okay.
Any pain in the feet besides the pins and needles?
No, just that's at nighttime, and it takes. Sometimes it takes me as much as a half hour to fall asleep.
Okay.
But That's the only time I experience that. And then also, if I'm sitting for a long period, I have to get up and walk. Like you said, circulation.
Yeah.
And that takes away.
Well, how does it feel? Like, do you get the pins and needles when you sit down for a long time?
Yeah.
You get, okay. Why did they put in a pacemaker?
In 2011, I had heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, my heart function was at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me 3 months in which to get it up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did that, then if it was below 30%, they were going to install a pacemaker.
How did they tell you to get your cardiovascular function up?
Well, I was still working at that time.
Uh-huh.
And just normal activity, walking.
Mm-hmm.
Because my job was active. It wasn't strenuous, but it was very active. I was a building inspector for the City and County of Denver.
Mm-hmm. So walking a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just activity brought it back up. And And then earlier this year, I started feeling really tired, fatigued, short of breath, feeling the same symptoms I did when I
mm-hmm.
had the failure the first in 2011. And I went to see my cardiologist, and he did an EKG, and it showed. I had this in 2011 also, a left bundle blockage, and I still had it.
Yeah.
And that would never change, but he did an echogram, and it came back that my heart function was 25%.
Hmm.
So he recommended a pacemaker mainly because I was retired now. I'm not as active as I previously was, and within 2 days after they installed the pacemaker, I felt the difference. I was before I couldn't walk from the parking lot to the store.
Wow.
Without getting short of breath.
And now, do you have shortness of breath, or you're
fine? No, I can walk.
Good. That's awesome.
I can walk a distance.
Okay.
We do have stairs, so he just go up and down the stairs.
Does go up and down the stairs.
He does have some
exercise.
Yeah.
Good. You have a dog?
No.
No dog.
No.
Most of my patients.
He keeps asking me, don't you want
a dog? Yeah. They can get out and walk their dog, and it kind of pushes them to get out and be active.
Yeah. But you get too attached to dogs. That's too hard.
You do get attached to them.
And then when they're gone, it's it's too hard.
But then you
that's why I say every once in a while he says to me, "Don't you want another dog?" Yeah, for me, you're not gonna take care of what I am.
Well, he needs to go walk around the block anyway. All right. Any issues with your bowels?
No, actually.
You have a bowel movement every day.
Yeah,
it's pretty normal.
Yeah, pretty normal.
Okay.
Pretty normal. Every now and then I do have one that's really loose, even like diarrhea, but
it's just like a normal, like...
Yeah, that's maybe once every 2-3 months.
Okay.
So.
And then how's your energy level?
Energy level is improving.
Yeah, compared to where it was before.
It was, yeah.
Got it. But would you say you have, your energy could be better?
It could be better.
Okay.
Much better, yes.
All right. Any issues with your ear, nose, mouth, or throat?
I noticed that my sense of smell has changed, my sense of taste has changed, and part of that is because I have dentures, and it seems to block the taste of, because all I taste is is not the taste of food, you know. It's
what do you taste?
Like plastic.
Yeah.
Just plastic.
Yeah, okay.
And
do you have any heart palpitations ever?
No.
You ever feel that? Okay, good. Any memory issues?
I have, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could be talking about a weather person, an actor, and I could see their face,
mm-hmm.
and but I forget the
name.
Mm-hmm. After thinking about it for a couple of minutes, I remember.
Okay.
But
those are just senior moments.
Don't discount that, because we don't have to have senior moments.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah,
right.
That's true.
All right, no, any nervousness or depression?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure that we get everything. You don't have burning or painful urination, do you?
No.
Okay, and no blood in the urine?
No.
Sexual difficulty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can you, sex drive, is your sex drive low?
It's done.
Okay, and then you can't get an erection?
No.
Okay. That's all cardiovascular.
I talked to you about the prostate already.
Yeah.
It's enlarged.
Yep, so the prostate's enlarged, and also you're taking a lot of blood pressure lowering medication,
mm-hmm.
and we need higher blood pressure in the periphery to
mm-hmm.
get an erection, and so it's kind of, we can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have super low blood pressure or low
yeah.
blood pressure and then
yeah.
expect to need blood pressure in the periphery. So the cool thing is when we start to, you know, get your cardiovascular disease, your cardiovascular health better, and we also work on your adrenal function, because that also has to do with how your nervous system is working. So a lot of times that can come back, but if we've had surgery or we've had any kind of procedure, typically on the prostate, then I don't really have high hopes for that.
Okay,
so sometimes it comes back, other times it doesn't. But we gotta save your kidneys and your
mm-hmm.
and all the other stuff.
Yes,
first.
Yes.
Okay. Good. And no respiratory issues?
No. No. After I had the pacemaker, I'm breathing normal.
Good. Hives, eczema, rashes, or itching?
No.
Any? You've never had cancer or?
I had a skin cancer, and it was called basal cell,
mm-hmm.
and it was in the lower center of the back, and that was removed.
Okay, good. All right. No anemias or anything like that?
Not that.
That you know of. Okay. All right. So let's talk about if I was to take you as a patient, what are your top three goals? What would you like to accomplish by coming here? They have to be measurable, so don't just say, I want to be healthier.
I'd like to reverse the diabetes.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, with the individualized treatment,
mm-hmm.
Weight loss is natural with that. And,
that's right.
With all my medications, I like to lose as many medications as I can.
Yeah, let's put reduce meds.
Okay.
We usually see them lower across the board,
mm-hmm.
because when we're dealing with looking at you as a whole person,
mm-hmm.
right, we don't really choose what medications we're getting off or working on.
Yeah.
You just kind of, as your body starts to heal, everything starts to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So we can no longer think of you as compartments. Okay, so we've been taught to look at the cardiovascular system, and then you go to a kidney doctor, and then you go to the diabetes doctor, and then you have like all these people treating your parts.
Mm-hmm.
But
like
you are a whole person,
mm-hmm.
and they all affect each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look to see where the imbalances are, and then we start to heal the body, then everything starts to get better, and we don't have to keep compartmentalizing everything. Okay? All right, so reduce meds. I'm going to put reduce / eliminate. I don't know how much you'll be able to eliminate completely, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to reduce all of them and then get off of some of them.
Okay? Good. I was going to... I have a lot of... pain is caused from inflammation,
mm-hmm.
and I got a lot of it in my, especially my shoulders.
Is it in your joints, like multiple joints? I know
well,
it's
this,
in your left shoulder.
This one, after I get so high, it'll start cracking.
Yeah. Any
and,
other joints?
I'm feeling a weakness in my knees.
Okay.
And my orthopedic surgeon, he told me just riding a bicycle or a
mm-hmm.
stationary bike,
mm-hmm.
he said that'll build those muscles up around me,
it will.
The knee joint,
mm-hmm.
and which will strengthen that. And that's where I feel a weakness on the muscles on the joint too. I don't feel a rubbing or I don't feel like I do in the shoulder.
All right, so it'll be interesting to see what starts happening when we get down all this inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at different inflammatory markers, one being C-reactive protein. I'm not sure if they've checked that on you. Typically, they only check that if you've had a heart attack or a stroke,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually a risk factor marker that we can determine how at risk you are for that. But what it really tells us is how much inflammation is in the cardiovascular system, and then we look at other markers like homocysteine levels and some other things that help us determine how much inflammation you have in the whole body. And when that starts to come down and the weight starts to come down, then your body starts to just really feel better. You know, the weakness probably will go away, that pain will start to reduce and get better. On a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being excruciating, where is that pain at on average?
This on average, I'd say about a 4.
Okay.
3-4. It's a dull pain just all the time. And aching.
All right.
And when I sleep on that side, after a while, it wakes me.
Sure. Okay. So when we say reverse diabetes, I just want to be clear that along with that, I mean, because we can have like 10 goals, but just want to focus on the biggest ones. For me as a practitioner, I'm concerned about your kidney function, right? So in addition to getting your blood sugar down, I want your kidney function to improve. Along with that, looking to improve your cardiovascular system, looking to improve all those things that we're looking at as you globally, okay? So not just diabetes, but everything that you're at risk for.
Okay.
Okay?
I have an appointment with Dr. Singh for, he's my nephrologist. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and he has me do blood work a week prior to my appointment.
Yes.
He's pretty thorough, so I'll ask him to share that.
Sure. Yeah,
share
that would be
results.
Great. Mm-hmm.
I also have an appointment with Dr. Haas. She's the diabetes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she has me do blood work previous to my appointment. I'll ask her to share that.
Yeah. Okay, that would be great.
With you.
Okay.
And if you have a card,
we'll get that all at the end. So let me ask you, on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how motivated are you to achieve these goals?
I'm very high motivated. I'd say 10.
10? Most people aren't a 10.
You think you are? My health is just progressively getting worse and worse and worse, and it's been a while now. Actually started when I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and that was a 92, and I just want to, at this point, I want to reverse my
Yeah, okay, good. So you gave me a little bit. So let's talk about why you're motivated. So your health is progressively getting worse, mm-hmm. and you really want to move it back the mm-hmm. other way, which I think is definitely possible.
I realize that I'm 72 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm in my golden years of life, and but I want to be able to finish, even if I have 10 more years to live it healthy.
Yeah.
I want to be able to. I've got 2 grandchildren, and they're still little.
How old are they?
3 and 6. And I'd like to be able to do things with them.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really good because, you know, you could live another 10, 15, even 20 years. The average lifespan is now 81, so mm-hmm. most people are going way beyond mm-hmm. the average. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is the longer that we live, the more our health continues to decline mm-hmm. and the more complications that we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So if you could live without having the complications of diabetes, mm-hmm. then that would make your life better, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, much.
Yeah.
Much better.
All right. What else? Your grandkids? Boys, girls?
A boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl.
6-year-old boy, 3-year-old girl.
Cute.
I'd like to just be healthy the rest of my life, and maybe Lucy may join me on this journey, mm-hmm. and we can live together to 100.
There you go. And one other thing that most people they do think about, and it's mm-hmm. a motivation, is the burden. Mm-hmm. on your family if you start mm-hmm. having all of these complications,
yes.
right? So then she's
going
to have
now that you mentioned that, there was another thing too. Mm-hmm. I want to be less of a burden.
Yeah.
I want to be
no burden.
No burden.
All right. Why is this important for you that he...
It takes a toll.
Yeah.
No matter what, it mm-hmm. always takes a toll on both parties.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never realized that until I got older. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the youngest of 11.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I've ended up being a caregiver. So I understand it more. I mean, I never thought that the picture would be reversed because being the youngest, everyone else took care of me.
Right.
And I never realized the function that was there. But then now that I'm older and I'm an adult, I'm looked at as a completely different person, mm-hmm. different attitude towards me and things like that. You know, I just realize I'm a different person now, mm-hmm. you know? I never thought of, you don't think about getting older at all. You
right.
don't think about what life is going to be like later on in life. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that way at all, I don't think.
Right. And I don't think that they do either. And a lot of people, it's because of the way that we, I think, are programmed, because we want to live now. We don't want to prepare for the future. And mm-hmm. we don't want to complain either with how bad we feel. So a lot of times
yeah.
we just shut off the degree and the severity of where our health is.
Our kids have gotten to the point where they talk to us like, you're old. So, you know, wait a minute. I told my one son-in-law, okay, you can treat Dad, you can do whatever you want to do for Dad, but don't treat me like I'm old, because I'm not there yet.
That's right.
So don't treat me like I'm old.
That's right.
You know, like they want to hold me. They want to hold me up, and they want to, you know, whatever. You know, no, don't do this to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not there yet. I'm trying not to be.
That's right. So we got to get his health together,
right?
Right. So why else is it important to you that he gets his health together?
So he can live a fuller life, because mm-hmm. he's not. Mm-hmm. He's not.
How do you see that he's not?
He isn't as active.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably the biggest thing for mm-hmm. me, because I have energy and I want to do things, and we can't do things.
Okay.
Or we don't do things. Mm-hmm.
because if I end up doing things, I end up doing them by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably been my biggest thing. I've been alone a lot. So I understand it, but it is difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I motivate myself
mm-hmm.
to keep going, even though he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that gets him going is my granddaughter. You know, I pick her up and I bring her home with me, and she wants to go wake up grandpa. It's funny how she goes up there and just stares at it. Yeah. You know, and she wants him to make breakfast for her, even though we've already had breakfast.
Oh my
you know,
gosh, that's funny.
Take my grandson to school, and then she comes home with me, and it just bothers her that grandpa's not up because
yeah.
everybody else is up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she goes to wake up grandpa, and she gets him going. You know. And she thoroughly enjoys her breakfast, however, you know, and she wants to do things with him. But, you know, she's the one that can do it, and that's it.
Okay. So, what else do you want to do with the rest of your life? Not sleep away,
mm-hmm.
right? What else are we mm-hmm. going to, what are you going to do with your life, or what would you like to do?
Well, since I retired, we've taken a couple of trips
uh-huh.
that I'd like to do more.
Mm-hmm.
That, do more of that, travel more, just be more active socially, just enjoy,
mm-hmm.
be able to enjoy life.
Yeah. All right. I do this because it's easy for people to say, I want to lose weight and I want
mm-hmm.
to do all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but if we don't have it rooted in true motivation, right? Like, I'm doing this because I want to live longer, healthier, be around for my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like you have, your granddaughter has you wrapped around her little
oh.
finger.
Her and her dad. Grandpa and her dad.
I only have boys, so I don't really know that, but I have a niece that is just, she has everyone wrapped around her finger. She's the only girl grandkid. But anyway, so when we think about these things, and we do think about the future,
mm-hmm.
and we have a reality of where we're at, but what that might look like if we don't change is important.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's what makes people do well in this program, is that there's more meaning behind, I just want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that ensures that you're going to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's talk about what you would have to do to get good results, because clinically, I think you're a good fit. To be honest, if you don't do a program like this, a functional medicine type program, you're going to continue just like you have been.
Mm-hmm.
And those meds are going to add up, and you're just going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And the kidney function is probably what worries me the most, just because I know the lifestyle of people that get put on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a medication for that, which is why they don't have you on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
of the blood pressure meds, they say to protect your kidneys, but it's not doing
mm-hmm.
what they
even over the counter.
Yeah.
It's hard to take over the counter medication because of what they do.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I do think that these goals that you have here are definitely achievable. Okay? So let's talk about what you would have to do. So like I said, it's a 6-month program. I'm going to have you come in 19 times over that 6 months. So in the beginning, it's going to be twice a week, probably for the first 2 weeks. And the reason you have to come in twice a week is because your blood sugar is going to be coming down, and you will need to be lowering your insulin. And you can do it according to the chart that
yeah.
I think the nurse gave you,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have to lower it even more.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably not used to it going
down,
and I don't want to put you
mm-hmm.
in any risk, so
mm-hmm.
use that chart and just keep decreasing it
yeah.
based on your blood sugars.
Yeah.
Okay? Then it goes down to once a week, and then twice a month, and then once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any reason why you couldn't make those visits?
Where are we going?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mondays and Wednesdays are the days that you watch the
during
watch
the day?
The kids, yeah.
I don't know what the schedule's going to be.
She doesn't have to come?
No,
you will have
okay.
to come.
All right, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I can do that.
You can do that?
Course,
okay.
Course. twice a week. I have to, like I say, I have appointments coming up with my primary care, diabetic, and
we'll just work around those.
Yeah, I'll just have to work around those.
Yeah, we'll work around those. Okay. So the testing that you're going to do for me, the first blood test, I like to run it because Medicare kicks out some of those tests, and if they don't cover it, it costs you more money. So I'll do blood work, and because we do it cash, we get a huge discount on it, okay? And then any follow-up blood works that we need to order, then we'll communicate via your medical doctors, okay? And then you're going to do a saliva test for me. And a saliva test, you're going to spit in some vials, and that's going to give me your entire hormone profile, so estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, your DA, your whole hormone pathway. And then it's also going to show me how your adrenal glands are functioning and how your body is handling stress, okay? And then it'll also do a few different food sensitivities for me. And then I'm going to have you do a stool test. The stool test is going to be looking for any infections that you might have in the digestive tract. And then we're also going to be looking at all of your good bacteria. So you guys have heard probiotics, right? It's kind of the new thing. Well, it's important to know what your balance of probiotics is, right? So there's different strains of those different bacteria. Sometimes we can get way out of balance on one. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know what your balance is and if you need them, which ones you need, okay? So that's the stool test. And then I'm going to have you do a cardiovascular genetic test for me. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. I'll actually have you perform it here in the office. You just swab, get some skin cells on, and then we stick it in the mail.
So the majority of the time, I don't need to be with him?
No. Okay. Just this time, because I want to make sure that you support him doing this program, because we don't take patients if their spouses don't support them, because they don't get what they need at home, the emotional support and physical support if we need that. And they just don't do well. Like the person before you, I didn't accept her because her spouse wasn't supportive. So that's important for me. So the testing is fine. You don't have any issues with the testing, right?
No.
Okay, and then supplements. You will be taking nutritional supplements, and those will be customized based on your testing that we get. And then we will do a follow-up blood test and saliva, whatever tests we need to follow up with, to make sure that there's objective data that we're on the right track and things are getting better.
Okay.
Okay? No issues taking supplements, right?
No. Okay. I take supplements.
Yeah, I saw them on your list. And you take a whole lot of stuff. So hopefully we can whittle some of that down. All right, now let's talk about the diet. So for the most part, because this will be customized, but for the most part, you can eat protein, animal protein, chicken, fish, turkey, lamb, beef, pork, eggs.
Okay.
Lots of vegetables.
Okay.
The only restriction on vegetables is white potatoes.
Okay.
That's
what I eat most.
And then, depending on what your labs say, will determine if you can eat fruit and what fruit you should be eating. Because diabetics, actually, the University of Colorado came out with this study like 7 or 8 years ago. Some diabetics turn fructose into glucose really fast, and it spikes your blood sugar. When in people without diabetes or insulin resistance, that fructose is absorbed slowly over time. So there's testing that we can do that has been correlated to how you process fructose, and we'll let you know what fruit you can eat. But you're not going to count calories or fat or carbohydrates or anything like that. I just want you to eat animal protein, lots of vegetables, and then snacks in between. You can have nuts or seeds, and we'll customize what fruit that you might have.
Okay.
I never want you to be hungry.
Okay.
Okay? You think you can do it?
All right, yeah.
You think you can do it?
Okay.
Why are you
he
laughing?
He loves avocados. So
you can have avocados.
He loves his eggs in the morning.
Fantastic. Yeah. So.
He eats a lot of eggs. Okay.
Well, there is going to be a time where you can't eat eggs for 3 weeks, but then after that, you can introduce them back in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have eggs and bacon and avocado almost every day.
Do you?
Or sausage. Sometimes I throw some greens in there, but that's basically what I have. So
I would is what I did this morning. I did a scramble with some spinach and onions.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what he likes.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So we're not really trying to be restrictive, meaning there's things you can't eat, but as far as the amount of food, and we really want you to be satisfied, mm-hmm. because this should become a lifestyle change and not just a diet that you're on.
Right. Okay.
You know, I've been doing it for almost 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, I was about 50 pounds heavier than I am.
Really?
Until I figured out how to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then take all my supplements also, and then I've been able to keep it off. I've had two kids since then, and
good for you.
Yeah, but
you look very young. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you were surprised. I mean, I was surprised when you said you had children. I didn't even think you were married.
Oh, I have a 13-year-old.
Really?
I do, and I had him later, like when I was 27. I had him. So
I had my first when I was 31, and my second when I was 35.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's good to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what my kids did too.
I told my sons, I'm like, it's a law. You can't get married until you're 30. And they were like, really? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay. So then when they turned like 11, 12, my older one, he goes, that's not a law. Like, it's a law in my house. He goes, when did God get married? I'm like, 30. Anyway. So if you learn to stick with it for the most part, then you don't have to worry about, you know, going downhill with your health,
mm-hmm.
and taking a gazillion supplements and medication. But
mm-hmm.
once you get past that and your body is healing, you just kind of stay there, okay? And then you don't have to worry about this weight thing.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about blood sugar. How often are you taking your blood sugar now?
I check it in the morning, and I check it before I eat, and I dose myself with insulin, and I check it three times a day.
Okay.
Three times a day, and then I at nighttime I take 60 units of the Lantus. I don't check my blood sugars before I do that.
Okay. So I want you to keep doing what you're doing, but check your blood sugar before you take your Lantus.
Okay.
Because if your blood sugars are down and you take the Lantus, then your body's going to wake up in a spike. Or you will wake up and you can't go back to sleep because your body's trying to balance your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's getting lower, you're going to have to watch that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get off of the Lantus, the one that you take three times a day,
mm-hmm.
you only have to check your blood sugar morning and night.
Okay.
And then as you continue to progress, then the mm-hmm. nighttime one goes away.
Okay.
Okay. Won't that be nice?
Well, that's encouraging.
Won't that be
good.
So nice? Mm-hmm. God, people complain that they have to check their blood sugar twice a day. They don't even know what it's like to have to check it three or four times a day.
It seems like it's even calloused. Where
yeah.
I check it so often I can see the needle.
Yeah, well, let's hopefully get you out of that so you don't have to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right, so your treating doctor is going to be Dr. Stefanski. She's our treating doctor in the clinic. She's great. So she treats all of our diabetics. And then Dr. Valdez is here, and I'm here. So anytime that we have a difficult case, then we all can collaborate and see what we need to do.
Okay.
But you're in good hands with Dr.
So this is considered our first visit?
No.
Oh, it isn't?
Not yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Once I accept you as a patient, then we will actually schedule your first visit for next week. And then at that time, we'll do an exam, and then we'll get you started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also want to, there has to be a little bit of time between now in the first visit so you can get all the testing done, because I want a baseline of where you started, because
okay.
I don't want you starting to get better and then do the test, because you do really start to get better quickly, which is pretty cool.
Great.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the cost of the program. So the cost of the program for the full 6 months, all of the supplements, and all of the testing is going to be around $11,000. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can pay for that. You can pay for it up front if you want to, and you'll save about $600. The other option that you have is to make monthly payments. And we have a lot of different options with monthly payments. Would you like to pay for it up front or do monthly payments?
Monthly
payments. Okay. So we can do 12 months, no interest. So that's going to be a little over $1,000 a month, or we can spread it all the way out where your lowest monthly payment will be around $300. They do add interest to that, but there's no prepayment penalty. So you can always pay that off faster if you want to. Mm-hmm. So what's going to work best for you guys?
We'll do the $300.
The $300 a month? Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do is I am going to have you guys read our office policies and the informed consent, and then I'm going to go get your treatment plan together and get it all so that it's itemized so you can see exactly what's included.
Okay.
And then we use a third party to do those payments, so then we'll get your payment plan set up.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Here's this. You want a copy to read?
No.
Okay. I'll just read it. They're mostly the same. But one of them has a pregnancy clause.
Oh.
But our attorneys in the state make you sign both of them. Okay, and I'll be right back. Do you guys need any water?
Water.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, I'll be right back with that.
What's today's date, the year?
19th. I need to stand. I get tired of sitting.
That's okay.
I was going to ask you, how long is the payment plan? Is it for how many years?
I'm not sure. So what we'll do is get you approved, and then it'll kind of lay everything out. So you'll have a bunch of different options.
Oh. Okay.
So they go up to 5 years, but they give you 5, 4, 3, 2, and then we can kind of choose whatever's best for you.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll make sure that I give you a copy of everything that you signed so you have it.
Thank you.
Any questions so far?
All this testing will also include testing for cancer?
I'm not necessarily doing any cancer markers, but if I see something that's way out, typically,
okay,
like I'll see red or white blood cells kind of out, or I'll see platelet counts really low, or I'll see different ominous signs,
mm-hmm,
and then we would refer, or I would do additional testing and then refer out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason I asked was mainly because of the prostate.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'm treating another patient that's dealing with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent him out for blood work, and I'm going to see what his PSA is. But typically what I see is that come way down,
mm-hmm,
as long as it's not cancerous. So if it's not cancerous, then the treatments that we use here, it pulls it right down, that PSA.
Also, I have I did a blood draw,
mm-hmm,
last week for Dr. Mueller. He's my urologist.
Yeah.
And I'll have him.
That would be great.
If you
could get the latest ones, just the latest,
mm-hmm,
of what they have run, because they're probably running a few different markers than what I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could put it all together, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay. And then anytime you get tests from us, I always give you a copy. So then you have a copy and you can share with your other doctors and
great,
let them copy it.
Great.
Okay.
And you have a card?
Yeah, we'll get that up. I'm going to give you a folder, and it's going to have a card in it with all of our information on it, so then you know where to tell them to send it.
Okay?
All right, so let's go over your treatment plan first. Okay, so I did some finagling, and we came up with 20 visits. If you don't need an extra one, then we can take that off. You'll be refunded at the end, but I think it's good for you to come in twice a week for,
mm-hmm,
the first 3 weeks, so
okay,
we can make sure you're good with your blood sugar. And then it goes down to once a week,
mm-hmm,
and then it goes down to once a month.
Okay.
Okay? So the cost of your visits is $74.46.20.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have your blood chemistry analysis is going to be 375. So normally it would be 2,183, but because we're a member of a co-op, we can buy down the cost of blood work.
Oh.
So instead of you getting a giant bill, this is what it is. And we don't mark up any of our costs.
Good.
And then you'll have a stool test for 207, a saliva test for 225, and then your genetic test, the cardiovascular genetic test for 299. Okay? And then you're going to have weekly meal plans, menus, grocery list, recipes. We include this at no charge. And then Dr. Stefanski will take you on a grocery store tour. And we include this at no charge. So she takes you around Whole Foods and educates you on what you can and can't eat, gives you a lot of different ideas.
Okay.
Okay. And then we also have patient education seminars. We alternate a grocery store tour and then a patient education seminar. And then a grocery store tour, like every month we do something. So you can come, like, and she does a lot of different things with grocery store tours. Like last time she went through the body care aisle for lotions and all of that stuff, what to look at. Those might be good for you to come to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the patient education seminars, instead of like a support group, it's people sitting around complaining, we decided that we would do like education.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we do recipe exchanges or kind of like a potluck, but it all has to fit within the diet. So sometimes that's fun. You're going to start with a 3-week cleanse, and that's going to be starting next week. Okay, and that's 607. And then for your nutritional supplements for the full 6 months, we allocate about 2,000. That's typically what patients go through. If for any reason that you don't use it all, you'll be refunded at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Is there nutritional supplements for the 6 months?
That's what that is right there. Okay? So it's kind of a bank that we just put separate set aside, and then you draw down off of it throughout the 6 months. And then whatever's left over, then you will be refunded.
Okay.
Okay? So the total is $11,159.88.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there'll be a lot of, we'll look at the different payment options that you can do, okay? I think the lowest one is $223, so if we wanted to move it up so that it's not spread out so long, and go up to about $300, I think we can do that.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So if you will please sign and date there as the patient.